Chapter 26. Arion. First hour of the afternoon arrived much sooner than Arion had anticipated. Shade, Arion's spirited stallion, was saddled and waiting for him when he arrived at the High Guard stables. Holding the muscular warhorse's reins was Lauren, one of the royal hostlers. He was a little taller than Arion and lanky, with loose brown hair and a smooth face. He held out the thick straps of leather for Arion as he approached.
"Here you are, sir."
Arion took the reins and walked around to face the magnificent animal. Shade gently nuzzled Arion's palm as he reached out to rub his head. "Hello, old friend. I've missed you too." He was indeed a magnificent animal. Bred in the wild on the Remiran plains, the horse was the epitome of strength, endurance, and intelligence. His midnight color was accented by a single strip of white that ran directly down the bridge of his face, from his forelock to the tip of his flaring nostrils. Arion glanced over his shoulder. "Has he been fed?"
"Yes, sir. I've also taken the liberty to warm him for you. I'd hate to see a beautiful animal like Shade injured because of improper grooming, sir."
Arion stepped into the left stirrup and mounted.
"You're a good hostler, Lauren. Don't let anyone tell you different. Your feel for the animals does you credit." "I thank you, Guardian. I only wish there were more like you who actually understood the bond between horse and rider."
Arion smiled. He rode toward the front gates. His horse's shoes echoed off the courtyard stone. Commander Tolan was saddled and chatting with Overcaptain Acer as Arion made his way to the front of the two lancer companies that were waiting directly behind the gatehouse walls. Despite being labelled as a commoner, Overcaptain Acer had quickly risen through the ranks. He was short but well-built, a full ducktail beard hanging from his chin tapered into a sharp point, and the jagged scar that ran from the top of his right eye down and across the side of his right cheek gave him the distinct appearance of a man you didn't want to mess with. The overcaptain had opted for not wearing his eye patch. He occasionally enjoyed touting his empty socket for no other purpose than to make those around him nervous. From the way Acer continued to glance over his shoulder at the ambassadors, this was clearly one of those times. Arion reined in beside Tolan.
"Everything in order?"
Acer twisted in his saddle.
"Everything but the royal pains in my backside, and all high and mighty ambassadors."
He spat on the ground in front of him. The commander smiled.
"I can't say that I disagree with the sentiment, Overcaptain, but we have a duty to perform, and we will perform it to the best of our ability, no matter how distasteful we might feel it is."
"Begging your pardon, sir,"
Acer said, twisting the reins around in his gloved hands.
"I never meant to suggest we wouldn't. I just don't got to enjoy it, that's all."
Tolan chuckled, then looked at Arion.
"Everything's in order. You?"
"I left Captain Barthol in charge while we are gone, so I suspect everything should be just fine."
"Good man, Barthol," Tolan said.
"He is. Wish I had 100 just like him."
Arion turned at the sound of approaching hooves. The High King, along with the ambassadors, made their way toward the front of the procession. Arion left the commander and overcaptain to make his way to the front in order to better protect the king. The caravan was moving toward the outer palace gates when a solitary rider rounded the south bailey. Arion shifted in his saddle to see Dakaran trotting up to take his place behind his father. Arion couldn't help but notice the king's smile. Behind the ambassadors rode the High Guard, their black capes billowing out behind them, keeping close assurance to the king's safety. Following the guard was the royal gamekeeper, an older man bent with age. He was in charge of making sure to locate the best possible habitats for the grouse they would be hunting. After him were the crossbowmen and the veneur, carrying the spaniels used for the rustling of the grouse. And lastly, bringing up the rear, were the Alondrian lancers. The sun reflected off their helms as they rode two abreast. Altogether, it was quite the impressive entourage that made its way under the arches of the central gates and across the high bridge. Below, the mighty Shimoah River was met with the force of the bay's tide. Passing over the causeway, they made their way through the streets of Eremor. With welcoming smiles, the citizenry waved at the High King as he passed. Rhydon smiled politely and nodded as they travelled along the chief thoroughfare leading out to the city's eastern gate. Rhydon was the first king in anyone's memory that cared more about them than he did himself. Arian had spent countless hours attending the open-door sessions the king held in the throne room, where he encouraged the citizens of Eremor to come and make their petitions. Mostly, the king and queen enjoyed spending time with their people, getting to know their needs. Obviously, with a city the size of Eremor, it would have been impossible to personally tend to everyone, but the gesture didn't go unnoticed. Arian could remember a time when the king had personally ordered his own coffers used to help a struggling home for unruly boys. Having been one of those boys years ago, Arian appreciated the sentiment. It took nearly an hour for the rather large party to wind their way through Eremor and pass outside the city's fortifications. The Alondrian capital was surrounded by a massive wall that spanned the entire perimeter. It was a marvel of engineering. The wall was thick enough to stand three men at the top, fully abreast. Arian could only guess at the scope of manpower and magic that must have been used in its shaping. Those living within were all but guaranteed a peaceful existence, for since its construction, after the Wizard Wars, the wall had never been breached. Turning north, the hunting party followed the Tanzian River as they made their way toward the foothills of the Sundrethan Mountains and the lower woodlands. It was the perfect day for a hunt. The sun was shining, and the cool breeze blowing in off the upper snowcaps kept away most of the insects populating the upper lowlands. The ash, silver maple, and slippery elm became more infrequent the higher they climbed, making way for the sugar pine, fir, spruce, and mountain hemlock. Arian watched as the old gamekeeper left the assembly and rode on ahead to scout possible locations for their hunt. Periodically, Arian would turn in the saddle to make sure he had set a reasonable pace. The king was busy working to keep a steady conversation flowing with his son, while the ambassadors were more than content to talk amongst themselves, pointing out the landscape or the occasional animal which happened to pass within sight. Only one of the ambassadors maintained a steady eye on Arian. He could feel the Silmaran's hatred stabbing at his back like a hot iron poker. Arian wondered what was driving such an overwhelming hatred. About an hour into their journey, Arian caught sight of the royal gamekeeper standing beside his mount, off to the side of the main road. He signalled the hunting party to a halt. Arian shifted in his saddle. "I believe the gamekeeper has found our quarry, Your Majesty. We should go on foot from here." Ambassador Guyen, who was barely managing to stay on his horse, as his weight bounced around at every dip and turn, was the first to speak. "On foot? I can't see why we shouldn't be able to shoot these birds from a horse just as easily as from the ground." "If you'll permit me, Ambassador," Arian said, "the noise produced from a contingent of horses such as these would undoubtedly frighten off any creature long before we were within a respectable shooting distance."
"Well, just how long of a walk are we talking about here?"
"As long as it needs to be, sir. But I would hope not that far." The king gracefully swung down from his horse.
"Come now, Guyen. I'll be more than happy to entertain those at dinner this evening
with the heroic tale of our hunt, not leaving out, of course, the fearless ambassador who stayed behind to watch the horses.
Guyon grumbled under his breath as he awkwardly dismounted. The lancers held the horses as Arian motioned for the crossbowmen and the dog handlers to approach. He addressed the Vanir first as they lowered the spaniels.
Follow the gamekeeper up the trailhead and see if the dogs can find a scent. The bowmen will ready the weapons as you do.
Without question, the dog handlers headed up the path the old gamekeeper had just taken. Each of the bowmen loaded a broadhead quarrel into the groove of their crossbows after first using the stirrup to pull back on the string and lock the hemp in place. As soon as the bows were ready, the small party made their way up the gentle, sloping track, winding further into the lower foothills of the mountain's base. 10 lancers, selected by Over-Captain Asa, were left in charge of the horses, while those remaining followed the party up the trail, keeping to a safe distance in the rear so as not to startle the hunters' game. One by one, the hunters exited the trail. They were standing in a large meadow. The Vanir kept a tight rein on the dogs, allowing the High King and ambassadors the time needed to catch up. After a brief discussion with the dog handlers and the gamekeeper, Arian walked back to the eagerly awaiting huntsmen.
Our gamekeeper seems to believe there is a decent-sized covey nesting in those low-lying shrubs on the far left side of the meadow. He believes if we keep our noise to a minimum, we should be able to approach within at least 30 paces before he orders the Vanir to release the dogs. Once the dogs are released, you'll have only moments before they hit the tree line and the birds fly. You'll only get one shot, two at most.
Njerdan, the ambassador to Keldor, took a step forward.
What happens if we miss?
Then you will need to hand your crossbow back to the bowman, and he'll hand you a fresh bow and reload the spent one for you.
Arian scanned the faces of the small group.
Don't get too upset if your first shot is amiss. Many times I've been told the grouse will fly only far enough to perch in a nearby tree, and if all else fails, this is still only the first stop.
First stop?
Guyon's head lifted.
I hope you don't expect us to just go traipsing all over the mountainside like a pack of wild goats.
For pity's sake, Guyon,
Lanmia interrupted.
The fresh air might do you some good, not to mention the exercise.
The Sidaran ambassador looked a bit put out by the Briston ambassador's whining.
A couple of the other ambassadors stifled a chuckle while Guyon huffed at the remark about his weight and tugged on his trousers.
Ambassadors, if you would, please take your crossbows, Arian said. We will be walking in silence the rest of the way. I'll raise my hand when we get within shooting distance.
He demonstrated the hand motion.
When I lower it, the Vanir will release the dogs, and the rest will be up to you.
The king took hold of his crossbow.
Thank you, Guardian. I believe they get the picture.
Arian hoped so. He was getting a bit tired of acting like a mother hound, trying to explain the use of its teats to a passel of ornery pups.
With nothing left to say after the High King's statement, the rest of the party retrieved their weapons and formed a simple line formation to make sure no overenthusiastic hunter released his quarrel into another's unsuspecting bag, whether by accident or not. Without a word, the small party advanced, and with each new step, Arian could feel the tension building. With the amount of raw vitality pouring off the ambassadors, one would have believed they were marching into battle against a horde of rock trolls and not a nest of defenseless grouse.
Commander Tolan, Over-Captain Asa, and the main Lancer Company kept their place at the entrance to the large meadow, not wanting to disturb the nobility's sport, but clearly staying within eyeshot in case the need should arise. The High Guard, accompanying the king, kept a few steps behind the small party, giving them plenty of space to enjoy their hunt, but close enough so that they could reach the king within a moment's notice. Arian, a few steps in front of the gentry,
watched the old gamekeeper as he tried reading a few of the tracks in the soft dirt. The old man turned his head around to signal something to Arion, but stopped when the forest went still. Both the gamekeeper and Arion froze. Arion could feel it. Something was wrong. They were being watched. Quickly, he raised his fist, signaling the hunters behind him to stop.
"What's wrong?"
Ambassador Guyon asked under his breath.
"Where's the bird?"
"Hush, you fat fool,"
Belcour spat. With eyes scanning the forest ahead, Arion cautiously backed his way toward the rest of the men as he drew one sword and then the other from the sheaths on his back. The dogs were now baring their teeth and growling at something ahead. The Vanir quickly set the spaniels back on the ground. They studied the surrounding trees, trying to find the cause of the dogs' unexpected behavior. Arion moved alongside the king, who was keeping a watchful eye on the trees as well. The king's finger gently stroked the tip of his crossbow's release clamp.
"What's going on?"
The ambassadors were all looking his way. "Something's wrong. Do you hear it?"
"I don't hear anything," Ambassador Lanmeer said.
"Exactly."
Arion didn't like what he was feeling.
"We need to close rank,"